Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wacker Drive. It's me, Anna DeVlantis. Thanks for being with us. And hey, it's Friday. It's Valentine's Day, the coldest Valentine's Day since 1943. Fun fact for you here in Chicago.
It's because our hearts are all cold these days.
We're just bitter. No, I don't think so. We have some things on the show that are going to warm your heart today. So this is going to help. This is really going to help.
Lauren and I are bitter.
We've had one cold day, you guys.
You know, and then did I hear something about daylight saving time, right? Did someone say that's only
it's
a
like 3 weeks away, right?
So there you go.
3 weeks?
Yeah.
It's mid-February. So yeah, March 21st, isn't it? Look forward to it. So we've got some stuff on the show. Okay, guys. All right. So this is great. So if you don't want to do like the big dinner and the pricey meal mm-hmm. and you're not really up for that, either the spending reasons or the hassle reasons or whatever it is, we've got some chefs here that can kind of talk about how to whip up something really cool and fun and romantic at home. How's that for an idea?
Are they single?
I think they are, actually.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Can I just say, I looked it up. It's March 8th, so it's even fewer than 3 weeks away,
March
right?
8th. Oh, wow.
Nine days, 17 days?
Wow. Sooner than I thought.
Yeah, wow. That seems way early.
I like it. That's when it's going to be very dark early.
Well, that makes sense.
No,
yeah,
or light.
It's just now when I'm leaving for work, it's finally daylight, and it's going to change again. But that's okay. I'll take a longer night.
Yeah, I would, too. I would, too. That's sort of that, in your mind, mentally, that means a lot,
oh, yes,
right?
It
that
does.
Day. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to that. So what about this, guys? Ever think about what the gifts say about you or what you're giving your Valentine, what it says about you? I remember back in the day, when I was single, it would always the color of the roses when you had a new relationship. Does he love you? Does he like you? And that was an issue. I mean, 10 years later, that's not an issue. But now it's sort of like, are practical gifts okay?
How practical? Don't get me like a gym membership, because then that just tells me that I'm
right.
overweight.
That's saying something there. That
or
you don't
like the
really
very small
say.
Stuffed bear you definitely got from Walgreens because you totally forgot to buy
lazy.
Anything.
Laziness.
Yeah, if you have the cheap chocolate still in the CVS bag with the receipt in it, is that okay?
Ooh, even worse. Mm-hmm.
Like you just picked,
no.
And then you can see on the receipt they just picked it up like an hour ago.
Ooh, what about the what about the card?
Steve
and they just sign their name and they don't write a little message.
See,
I hate
this
that.
Is exactly uh-huh. it. You guys aren't talking about nice things. You're talking about
proven
how men
point.
Can do it not perfectly.
Yes,
right?
Proven a point. I know, that's exactly right.
Is it better for me to have purchased the gift a week ago than an hour ago? What's the difference
well,
in the gift?
Okay, let's say the receipt says buy one, get one free. And you don't see the second one.
Depends on how many girls you're dating.
This is the problem,
Bertrand.
A woman will read something into that. If there's a buy one, get one free, and you see it on the receipt, and you only get one.
That's why it's a trap. And really, if all the talking today, what I've heard on TV and radio, it's all warnings to guys. You better do something.
I've said this before, yes.
There's no warning to the girls
it's
about,
true.
You know.
It just needs to be thoughtful. That's all.
I wrote something on our whiteboard when I left the house today.
That's thoughtful.
That's it, too.
Yeah, it's the little things.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? That's so sweet.
We usually go on Fridays anyway, so.
What did you write?
It sounds kind of personal.
Get milk and eggs.
Pick something up from the CVS on the way home or the Walgreens.
That's what I love you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's sweet.
Okay, I love that. That's mm-hmm. very, very sweet. Okay, what about this, though, this scenario? The let's not do anything this year. You know, let's not even get gifts for each other. And let's just forget about it, you know?
That is a lie. I've even said that lie, but I know that it's a lie.
There is a bit more pressure on the guys. I think particularly
a
earlier
bit.
In the relationship. Later on, I mean, Steve, right now, do you and your wife just kind of, you have this, right? I mean,
yeah,
do
we
you,
don't do, we're not.
You don't do much.
I she might be listening. I toyed with the idea of getting flowers, but I'm going to get them on the way home, and I guess apparently those aren't good enough.
No, those are good. Those are okay. good. It feels when it's an afterthought, you know it. But for you guys, it's not the same. I think that
because we're an old couple. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's. Well, let me tell you a perfect example. I was when I was dating, someone gave me wiper blades for Valentine's Day.
No.
True story.
No.
True story. Horrible gift. Didn't like that person.
Only thing?
Really kind of was.
Did they try to make it at least romantic? Like to wipe away those tears
in any form or fashion?
Or were they like,
there's a
brand new car attached to the wiper blades?
No, just said, I'm being thoughtful. I knew that you needed new wiper blades because I noticed that they were making marks on your windshield.
I dated a girl for Christmas, and she'd stay over sometimes. For Christmas, she gave me bath towels. what does this
passive aggressive
say? Yeah, really.
What did you read out of that one?
Well, apparently mine weren't up to snuff.
Yeah,
right.
See, you're reading something in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean that's bold
hard
face.
It's hard
yeah,
to avoid.
Yeah.
Right. That's hard to avoid.
The thread count just wasn't right.
See, I think so. Wiper blades were not okay then, but my husband and I are pretty much giving each other a vacuum this year. We kind of got a vacuum.
I think it changes over the course of your relationship. I bet it's a nice vacuum, though.
It is. We kind of had our eye on it for a while. It went on sale, and we thought, okay,
it's probably the most advanced vacuum in history.
I think it's a great vacuum. I just felt like, you know, we're also going to give each other a card and probably something little.
Yeah, I just don't like being told when I'm supposed to give someone something.
Yeah, when? Right? Yeah. When, like, meaning, like, you don't even like the day.
Well, it's like, yeah, Valentine's Day. Oh, you got to get something. Anytime, I just kind of reject that.
Yeah, they're sort of the consumery kind of made up holiday. That
I agree. If you are in a really nice relationship, there should be great little romantic moments all throughout the year. That way, Valentine's Day, there shouldn't be any pressure because you already have a nice relationship.
Valentine's Day should happen at least once a month.
Oh, no, we need more holidays that are made up in consumery. I would reject that piece of it. But I feel like, okay, so here's the other thing, too. It's if you've been together for a long time, what would you say is your secret? Now, and secret's kind of a strong word because there's no special sauce necessarily. There's no absolute secret or one size fits all kind of thing. But, like, what's worked for you? What's worked for you?
I can just see a bunch of men texting in and calling in saying, yes, honey. Yes, dear. Whatever you want, honey.
Well, it does come down. I remember for years I interviewed the couples at Holy Name Cathedral. They do this special ceremony for 50-year golden anniversary, right? So the golden anniversary couples been together all this time. And, you know, the first question always is, what's the secret or how did it work for you? And it really always came back down to something pretty simple. It was, I try to listen. I try to be her best friend.
Compromise.
Mm-hmm. Or when we argue, I try to give him some space and not, you know, and just not escalate it. Just let it go for a little bit, revisit it later. Very simple stuff.
The biggest challenge, I would say, in modern day life is just finding the time to be with each other. Because every time I see folks out on a date, they're on their phones. So it's like, put your phones away.
Having similar hobbies, I think, is huge. I see that with my parents. They love to go ride bikes together. They have the same friends. The things they like to do outside of the house, they like to do together. That's a big deal, I think.
That is a big deal.
See,
I like that.
And I think you could make the case for being completely independent, too. Like, you know,
right, separating. Don't always be together.
She likes to do this all the time. He likes to do that. So they're not spending every moment together.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at it wrong. The wiper blades were meant to be concerned about your safety. That's caring and thoughtful. Honestly, would you?
Sounds like he hasn't given up yet.
Yeah, really. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for texting in to WGN. Keep the text coming. We're going to have more coming up here on WGN. We've been talking about Valentine's Day and all kinds of gifts, what they say, what people want. And not every woman wants all that crap, flowers, or like all that crap. I hate getting flowers. It's a waste of money. They die. They drop petals everywhere. They smell when you put it in the water after a couple days. Don't get me flowers. So just communicate that. I think that's important. I say that. And then we also had someone else just write, I love you, on the mirror without the other person knowing. And then when they wake up or go to bed, and whatever, they wake up and see that. And it's kind of a cool thing. That's a really romantic thing. Kind of along the lines of what you did, what Steve Bertrand did when he just wrote that little note. 37 years ago, 630, I got a tree delivered from a florist for Valentine's Day. My boyfriend said it was the same price as roses. I married him. How about that? 630, how about this for Valentine's Day gift? My wife and I have been together for 23 years. I bought her for Christmas a 3-carat diamond ring and a 1-carat diamond earrings. I thought that was enough, and she agrees.
Ooh, yeah, I'd say.
That's a pretty nice gift. That's really cool. 312, I'd have to agree with Mike. He installed the wiper blades as well. It was a very thoughtful gift and saved you a nice little chunk of money. He did not install the wiper blades. Let's just clear that up. He gave them to me. So that was the other problem. But yes, I guess now in this stage of life, it would probably have been like, oh, that is a thoughtful gift, honey. You noticed that the wiper blades were not operating really well. So I get it. It depends on where you're at.
I think you should get a just cuz gift. Maybe that wiper blades work for that. Just cuz.
Yeah.
Just cuz,
hey,
I'm thinking of you.
I picked up for you because I noticed you need it. But on Valentine's Day? Really? I don't know. I was not a fan of it at the time. Again, I do like practical gifts now. That's just how things have turned out. We do want to hear real quick. We were talking earlier about let's not do anything this year. That whole thing. Does that fly? Should that fly? Should, when you hear that, should you say, all right, I'm not going to get anything? James Corden, the Late Late Show, the Late Show host, had an interesting take on that. last night. Let's hear it.
I like Valentine's Day. I do. What's not to like? There's candy. There's chocolates. There's that big hole inside of you you try to fill with candy and chocolates. Valentine's Day, or as a lot of couples call it, are you sure you don't want to do something this year, honey? No, I'm totally sure. Oh, okay, then we won't. Why aren't we doing anything? You clearly don't love me, Day.
Yeah, that's how it's read sometimes. Ryan Burrow is here. He's married. He knows exactly what to do for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm actually not going to see my wife today.
Because you're working?
My daughter's got a cheer competition up in Wisconsin.
Oh.
So they went up there, and I've got some NBA All-Star stuff to cover this weekend.
That is, you know, and again, that's one of the pricey tickets this weekend. We've been following those on StubHub, and it's like $1,000 to be in the 300 level. But there are a bunch of affiliated events all over town, from Navy Pier to local bars and restaurants that are hosting related events that are not nearly as pricey.
I saw... at the Hyatt right across the street here, right downstairs, they've got some kind of big tech forum going on with David Silver, the NBA commissioner. Looks like a lot of NBA players. If you want to, I was telling you this off the mic, some of these hotels downtown, if you go in and hang out in the lobbies of them, you'll probably see some NBA players.
If
you're
power.
Really looking. Yeah, I mean, I got to believe Shaq and Charles Barkley and some of these guys are walking around. They got to do something here when it's 0 degrees outside, right?
Keep themselves
hang out
moving.
In a hotel lobby. You got
keep
it.
Keep warm. So the celebrity sightings I've heard of, the Tribune had Chance the Rapper has already been here. Common, D. Wade visited his high school. That was pretty cool. Surprised everybody. So did Antonio Davis. He's the UNO Charter School grad.
Barack Obama's in town. I saw him getting a picture with Zion Williamson at a charity event today. Really, this is a lot of the charity stuff that's going on today. A lot of players, WNBA, NBA, are over at former players are over at Lurie Children's Hospital doing some charity stuff. We know there's some stuff going on at the Chicago Food Pantry they've been working with. They've cut the ribbon on some new build-outs at the Emmett Till. I can't remember what the full name of the facility is, but they've been very cool and doing a lot of things. And much of what we're going to see in that All-Star game, you know, we'll talk about Kobe in just a little bit, is dedicated. The money will be dedicated to organizations here in Chicago. They're actually playing for money for charities here in Chicago this year.
I didn't know that. What a great thing. So that's different from other years.
Yeah, this year is going to be really weird. If you're used to watching a normal basketball game, this is going to be completely different. Four quarters, obviously, but the first three are going to be 12 minutes long, and each one is going to be kind of its own little game. And whoever wins the first quarter, whichever team, whether it's Team LeBron or Team Giannis, they get to decide where the first $100,000 of the charity goes to. Second quarter, they do the same thing. So every quarter, whoever wins that quarter gets to decide where the money goes. And then at the fourth quarter, they're turning the clock off, and the first team to 24 points, in honor of Kobe, will ultimately win the NBA All-Star game, which will get $200,000 to a charity.
So only the fourth quarter really counts toward the...
They're going to add up the numbers at the end and figure out what the number that needs to be that they need to hit. But it's going to be very different than previous years.
It's always very loose and just fun anyway. It's not really about who wins and who loses. And there's a special significance and a special sort of tone, a somber tone, I would say, to this year because of Kobe and how well-loved and, you know, people loved him across the league, and you've got people who knew him very well participating and also showing up for this event.
Yeah, so Team Giannis will be wearing number 24 for Kobe. Mm. They'll also have patches, and they'll be wearing a patch that has 9 stars on it for all of the people who died in that helicopter crash. And then Team LeBron will be wearing 2 for Gianna, which is Kobe's daughter, and her basketball number. Once again, they'll be wearing patches, but every one of these players you see, whether it's 3-point contest, whether it's skills challenge, whether it's rising stars, they'll all be having some kind of tribute to these players on their uniforms. And then, of course, Jennifer Hudson will have a performance at just prior to all the players getting introduced.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you can't think of a better person than Jennifer Hudson to be performing with the Kobe being so present in people's minds, you thinking about her own way of dealing with loss and what she's dealt with in her life, that she's been there, and she has a special sort of passion and way about her, about it, just striking the right tone in these circumstances.
Sure, sure. And
besides being phenomenally talented.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way,
and
she's also just a really incredible superstar. I saw the Bears tweeted out, "Welcome to the great city of Chicago. Hope you brought your coat, NBA All-Stars." A couple of those people.
Think about that. I'm looking
really
at these rosters, all these guys from Texas and Florida coming on up here. 0 degrees this morning. We'll have to teach them the Pedway, but first we have to learn it because I still can't figure it out. I get lost in the Pedway,
and I've used it for years, and this is just the way it is. But then you know, you discover something new when you're down there because it's so windy and weird. They do tours of the Pedway on a separate note, don't they?
I've heard that they do. They do pub crawls. I know that, which could be even more confusing if you're not confused enough, right?
Speaking of the weather, curb your enthusiasm if you're a fan of that. JB Smoove is here, and he said, "I came to the airport and was like, what? I know you have a reputation for freezing everybody, freezing eyelids, freezing eyes wide open. I can't blink anymore." So he's feeling the cold.
Good thing.
Soft LA person.
Good thing the All-Star Game's indoors this year, huh?
Yeah, right. It totally, I mean, it just seems as if it's celebrity studded. I wonder if any like regular people are even going to be there. It seems the tickets have gotten so high. Initially, were they much cheaper? Do you know, Ryan?
No. I mean, this is a big event. I think what's frustrating is there are no Bulls. I mean, Zach LaVine's going to be represented in the 3-point competition tomorrow, but really you're not going to see a lot of Bulls uniforms out on the court, which kind of stinks, but that's the state of the game right now for the Bulls. It's just not a very good one.
How about it? That's so true. So Nike's NBA All-Star Game lineup, they're paying homage to Chicago with a bunch of new shoes that they're selling, and they say that, you know, they've done so well with like the Air Jordans and things like that.
The logos and the jerseys are the colors of the CTA lines. So they're using that for some of the skills challenges. And I think the Rising Stars and actually some of the logos that I've seen at the stores, it's the NBA logo and it's wrapped in the loop. The kind of the loop logo of the CTA lines.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, there's aside from all the celebrity and dumb, it's really kind of cool that what this does for our economy, right? You get like this big burst and like all these people spending and celebrating Chicago, tweeting about Chicago. There are huge Instagram and social media followings that all these big celebs have. It's got to be good for the city.
Yeah. I would think so. We haven't had it since 1988.
Gee.
And really, I mean, any kind of All-Star game, I guess you'd have to go back to the White Sox in 2005. I know the Cubs said at their convention that their time's up, so they know that they've got to have something at Wrigley here pretty soon, but it's been a while since we've really had anything here like this.
Yeah, it has been. Ryan Burrow from ABC News and WGN Radio News, we share them, and we appreciate you coming by, and like just always when you drop in the studio and you tell us things, Ryan, it's good to get the lowdown.
No problem. I got to go find Charles Barkley now.
Yeah, go see if you can find him. And then say hi to your wife at some point. FaceTimer or something.
Don't worry, people. There will be a date night. We're just postponing it a week. I promise.
That works. You've been married for a while. It's like, all right, whatever. I'll see you soon. All right. Thanks, Ryan. More to come here on WGN Radio. And then the news at the bottom of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Anna DeVlantis here on WGN with you. And you've been texting in your Valentine's Day gifts. And the ones that you love, some of them you don't so much love. 815, my husband and I go running together. He bought me a new pair of running shoes for Valentine's Day. How about that? I love that he bought them for me, and I love him. Very cool. 815, 30 years ago, I told him, don't ever get me flowers. And guess what? I've never gotten them. Good for you. It's simple. Just tell them what you think. Tell them what you want. 563, bought a big T-bone steak and will make her dinner at home. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next segment here about, hey, you don't have to go out for the pricey meal if you don't want to. There's still time to put something together, whip up something in your home. And sometimes it works out even better, you know? It does. 630, you write, I love you on the mirror with shave cream. Wipe it off when the mirror steams up. The words, I love you, appear on the mirror. Okay, that's the trick. Thanks for telling us about that.
My wife, Sharon, did that for me one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you like it? Did you love it?
It was very nice. Oh. I'm trying to remember if it was for my birthday or something. Yeah.
All right. Anna DeVlantis is here on WGN. It's 1:34. The nude food dudes here, the nude dude food guys are here. I said that wrong. They're going to be talking to us in a second, along with mixologist Tim Williams, about what you can do for your honey at home tonight. And just, you know, it's just like something you can whip up that just impresses her, but is not that difficult to do. And it's a good way to just sort of just spend some time one-on-one. Dave, 224, Dave says, for us married couples, there is a fine art of giving a Valentine's gift that doesn't disappoint, but also doesn't set the bar too high for next year. That's important. 312, I've been together with my husband for 39 years. We started dating on Valentine's Day. And so here's the deal. I told him, my husband, 4 days out of 365 count, make me feel special. Birthday, anniversary, Valentine's Day, and sweetest day. All right, so you laid it all out there for him. He knows where everything is. And then another one is, I left my wife a romantic note on the kitchen whiteboard today, just like Steve. Oh, wait, no, his said, please drop off the dry cleaning. That's not romantic. I don't know. Maybe if it works for you, then it works for you. And then 815, got my wife a bowling ball for Valentine's Day one time. Did not go over very well. Years later, she still reminds me of it. So there you go. Here we are with the new Dude Food guys. It's Ryan Van Voorhees and Seth Bradley, along with mixologist Tim Williams. Thanks for being here, guys, because this is going to really help some folks out. The kind of advice you have right now will prepare people who can just say, hey, I'm going to put something together for my honey and, you know, do something kind of special. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So should we start with drinks or food? What do you guys think? Food?
I think drinks always drinks come first? Before food, usually, in okay. our experience.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good way to set it up. Mixologist Tim Williams, you are amazing at what you do and very well respected in the industry. I know that. And you've prepared a couple of ideas for us. One is a hot toddy, which in this kind of weather... always can really, I just love a hot toddy when it's this kind of cold.
Especially when it's, I think it's 2 degrees, if we're lucky.
Some places colder than that.
Too. It's a stingy too.
Yeah, it's sort of hanging there, but you can get warmed up.
So a hot toddy, what I love about them is the versatility. You're not sort of, required to use any particular base spirit. So if the person that you're trying to impress really just doesn't love bourbon or doesn't love... Scotch or Irish whiskey, you can use barrel aged rum, you can use cognac, you can use even, you know, aged tequila. You want to do something that has a little bit of the barrel aging, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a whiskey. And basically with a hot toddy, all you're looking to do, just like with a regular cocktail, is you're looking to balance some sweet and some acidity. So you want to have about a half ounce to an ounce of honey. About a half ounce of lemon. You don't want to overdo the sour part, just because with the heat and the dilution, you don't want to make it too harsh. And if you make something too sour and then you warm it up, it sort of becomes unpleasant. You want to make a
hot toddy. So go easy on that stuff.
Yeah, you want to. You really want the sweet and the warmth to kind of be the sweet, the spices, and the warmth to be kind of the leading flavor profile here. You want the lemon just so it's not too cloying, and this isn't the kind of thing where, like, an old fashioned, you want to have a nice high proof, you know, base spirit, and you want to have 2 ounces of it in a hot toddy. You want to keep that to about an ounce.
Okay,
so you want to keep it a little bit lower alcohol, just because, again, when you add hot water to stuff, it intensifies a lot of the flavors, and if you put too much alcohol in there, it makes it even stronger, you know. Like, a lot of times if you have a shot, you have it chilled. It's the same sort of principle. Something that's room temperature or warm is going to be a lot more intense than something that's a little bit colder.
I do like a warm drink when it's this cold. Even like an Irish coffee or something like that could Absolutely. Be so perfect yep. in this kind of weather. But you also suggest bubbles, because that's a celebratory thing, right?
Sure.
So what would you do? What would you do with the champagne?
So something simple like a French 75, where basically what you're going to do is you're going to take, again, you're going to take a base spirit, only about an ounce. You're going to take a half ounce to 3/4 ounce of lemon juice. Also a little bit of simple syrup. You want to shake that together, and then once you're done shaking, you want to pour that into a coupe or a champagne flute, or even in a tall glass over ice, and you just want to top that with some champagne.
Yes,
something super, super simple. It goes really good with all types of food. I'm not a firm believer in, you know, red wine being the best with really heavy foods. I think that sometimes, yes, pairing sort of weight like that is a really good idea, white wine with white meat, etc. But I also like the idea of contrasting and doing something lighter on the drink side if you're doing something heavier with the food.
Oh.
So yeah, French 75, again, something, you know,
that's easy. And
start with gin, you can use vodka, and really most spirits will take well to that sort of application.
It sounds so good, so good. Tim, where can people find you? Just be make sure that we understand. You're mixologist Tim Williams, but what do you have, like, social media you want to put out?
So we, I operate under an LLC called Poor Souls Cocktail Club.
Poor Souls.
So on Instagram,
P-O-U-R Souls.
P-O-U-R. Yep. And we do events. We do bar and restaurant consulting, large scale event management. And pretty much anything in between. This weekend is going to be great for us with All-Star Weekend in town. So many brands, so many opportunities. Just really gearing up for a big one.
That's awesome. All right, let's turn to you, Seth and Ryan, because you guys have developed this great brand and become so well-known in the Chicago area for not only catering, but you do private parties and you serve individual needs and you do all that. So tonight's there are certain individual needs. People are trying to create something to impress their honey. Are there simple ideas that something you can do?
There's a few of them, yeah. I mean, kind of one of the classic aphrodisiac foods. You talk about oysters, really kind of low maintenance. I mean, the hard part is shucking them if you've never done that. But places like Whole Foods, I think, will shuck them for you. And they contain dopamine, which is kind of the pleasure chemical. And the texture is voluptuous. So it's an easy way to kind of start out and kind of fun to share. You know, you could top it with a little mignonette, a little hot sauce. But the hard part is opening them yourselves. But you get a good oyster knife. And that's not too hard with a little practice as well. Another aphrodisiac food or something that would be easy to impress somebody else, asparagus. Although out of season, it does contain vitamin E, which has been known to increase desire.
Put some thought into this. I like it. Okay.
This is what I've heard. I'm not speaking from experience here, but quickly and easily what you could do, get a hot pan, medium high heat, use some olive oil, drop the asparagus in, kind of do a light saute on them for about 5-6 minutes, depending how thick they are.
Yeah.
A little salt and pepper, take them out, hit them with a little lemon juice, brighten them up with some acid, and then even grate some Parmesan cheese or something over the top. Super simple, but has a lot of flavor, healthy for you too. Those are a couple kind of quick, easy ideas.
You take it off the heat to put the lemon on, always, for most things?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to put acid on towards the end of the cooking. So okay. I want to put the lemon juice in there and let it sit over that high heat, but a couple kind of quick, easy ideas to start.
Yeah. Ryan, you got anything there you want to add?
I'm a big dessert proponent, and who doesn't love chocolate, especially on Valentine's Day? For me in the business, I'm more of the baker. I do a lot of the desserts, so I'm always around chocolate. I love chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Even for this weekend, we're doing like an Oreo pie. You can do things simple, like even just like a soft-baked cookie. Chocolate chip cookie doesn't have to be super overcomplicated. You know, you think about going to a nice restaurant or going home to kind of some like childhood memories of fresh baked cookies. You know, nothing's better walking into the house where there's like a chocolate chip in the oven.
That helps create atmosphere even. When you have that smell in the air, you've got maybe even candlelight or just some nice music playing. It's like suddenly it's like, wow, anything you cook in that environment, your hot toddy and your bubbles.
And all
it's
this like everything's good. You know, we're talking about kind of simple last minute ideas because obviously they didn't plan ahead and hire us tonight. So you can, you know, make your cookies. We do it at home too, even if we just need like a snack or we're batching some stuff for holiday events. You know, make your cookie batter and your dough and kind of portion it out, throw it in your freezer, throw it in your fridge. You know, if you're kind of under the pressure of trying to cook this meal for, like you said, your honey, you know, in the midst of it, all you have to do is, you know, put it on a sheet tray, have your oven preheated, and they'll be done for you. So you're not trying to multitask, mix up the batter and all this ahead of, you know, just do it ahead of time. You'll save yourself a lot of stress and anxiety and really execute a good dinner.
Now, I've seen that you guys can get as fancy as anyone wants to get for a party or scale it down however you want. That's kind of what you do. You customize things. But you're originally from Central Illinois, right? I mean, this is not how you didn't really grow up eating this way.
Yeah, correct. So we're best friends from high school. If you're new listeners or new followers, you've heard this story, but best friends from high school. We went to Richwoods High School, met in driver's ed, came to the city about 15 years ago, and we actually came from different careers. I was a licensed therapist in the city doing child abuse and neglect investigations. Seth was a musician. He worked on the Board of Trade as well. So we both came from high-stress day jobs, but our passion for food, entertaining, and just having a healthy lifestyle really became more of our passion. And over 10 years of cooking on the side, cooking 4 or 5 hours a night, we turned some kind of clever marketing and kind of hosting our private dinner parties in our house and always having friends over, holiday parties, backyard barbecues, again, thanks to some clever marketing and the name Nude Dude Food.
So stop on that for a second, because Nude Dude Food is very catchy. And occasionally you guys have been known to be partially nude, you're shirtless when you have served. You don't need to do that, but you have done that. But the nude part of it is also about the food, right? That's another piece of it that people sometimes overlook.
That's right. I mean, as fun as it is to cook shirtless, we do always wear pants, by the way, and that's an you know, that attire is optional depending on the client. But nude also for us really signifies real food. So food without processed ingredients. We're big proponents of our local food scene. Green City Market has been an amazing resource for us to get really closely connected to our farmers and, you know, purveyors of food. So we're big supporters of that. And it, you know, we don't really follow specific diets, but our big thing is using real ingredients, everything from scratch and not processed ingredients. So the ingredients are nude in a sense.
That's so that makes a lot more sense then. Well, thank you guys. To remind us where we find you, Nude Dude Food.
So yeah, it's at Nude Dude Food. We're on Instagram, Facebook, all the social medias, www.nudedudefood.com.
Look for them then, Seth Bradley and Ryan Van Voorhees. And then Tim Williams is at Poor Souls, is the name of your company. P-O-U-R, Poor Souls Chicago. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, gentlemen. Help some people out here today. Appreciate it. 1:45 here on WGN. More to come, including the CTA bus driver of 25 years, who's also an international blues star. He's here in studio, coming up. Here on WGN, that's Taranzo Cannon. He's an international blues star. We're going to hear a little more of from him in a moment, hear more of his music. But he's here in studio with this amazing story to tell, so we want to get right to that. Taranzo, how are you? Thank you for being on WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you.
Valentine's Day.
52 years old. Here I go.
52 years young. Is that one of those is that one of those holidays that people forget about your birthday because it's Valentine's Day, or it's not as bad as Christmas?
No, it's not as bad as Christmas. No, you get candy. This is for your birthday and Valentine's Day.
At least another 15, then they get the half price candy and
that's
give
right,
it
yeah.
to you.
So I don't mind.
It works out.
It keeps.
Taranzo, you're just an amazing, you're an amazing story in so many ways because of what you're doing on the blues scene, your international success. You travel all over the world and you make this great music. You're at Blues Fest. You do all this great stuff. And then you're a CTA bus driver for 25 years.
26 years
26,
now. 26, yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, no, it's
mm-hmm.
okay.
How do those two lives blend together? And is that sort of your secret, that you just like that balance between the two? Or what is it that keeps you in the CTA job?
You know, benefits, insurance, life, things like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, things, I have a quote, I guess, do what you got to do what you want to do, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's so when you first started with the CTA, was the blues the dream, or were you already doing?
No, they kind of came up together. I was just practicing maybe at that time for about maybe 4 years, mm-hmm. and then they just kind of came up together, and then gigs started happening, and you know, I was just a jammer. I would go out and jam, you know, and people were like, oh, you got something. I'm like, okay. You know,
when did you know you had something?
When I was getting paid for just to play the guitar, and it's like, oh wow, this is cool, you know.
So you're from here.
Oh yeah,
Chicago.
Oh yeah.
And you even came in with the wide brimmed hat with the Chicago flag on it. I've never seen one like that. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And so you're you know, you drive the CTA bus, you wear the stripes there, you also kind of dress in some Chicago kind of gear on stage on occasion.
I've carried a flag too of Chicago to many states and countries. I just left the Chicago flag in Japan.
Were you just in Japan?
Yeah, last October, Aomori. Aomori, Japan. Yeah, I left the Chicago flag there because we're not sister cities, but we met their mayor, and Mayor Lightfoot gave us a decoration, whatever, to go there. You know, it's a blues kind of blues thing or whatever. And but I had to leave our flag, you know.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Where have you been around the world? Traveling?
Oh, wow. France.
For years you've been doing it, right?
Yeah, well, consistently for the past maybe 8 years.
Uh-huh.
But all of Europe, South Africa, Armenia.
Armenia. Blues are big in Armenia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Riga, Latvia.
Ah.
Yeah. Then Japan. I just, you know, so the four corners of the world, I guess we call it. But Brazil, you know, I've done... Yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Are you often surprised when you go to places, remote or otherwise, and they just are huge blues fans and how you're received?
Yeah, and then everybody's freaking out. And then, you know, and I'm like, because I take all my vacation days from CTA to go to these places.
Uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh.
And Monday morning, for the most time, I'm, you know, like I'll take a week of vacation and go to these places, do a tour. Monday morning, I'm back on the bus, you know.
And it's just a total contrast in life. So it's like 180.
Yeah, I reminisce backwards. I guess that's reminiscing, right? When you reminisce backwards. But I daydream or whatever backwards. You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you just sort of, okay, you're playing this blues scene in Japan or Europe or Brazil or somewhere, and then Monday morning you're back there driving the bus. Does anybody recognize you on the bus?
Sometimes. They've done some things on TV and things like that.
Uh-huh.
CNN has came down and did a documentary travel thing with me.
Uh-huh.
I made sure they had the deep dish pizza. You know what I mean? Because they were from New Jersey. Yeah, they were from New Jersey.
Did they complain and say, really, the thin crust is better, but we'll eat your deep dish pizza? Because they always have to bring up their thin crust, those East Coasters.
Well, they were here at Buddy Guy, so they were on the turf. You know, so they probably said that on an airplane, but they're not going to say it in my face. You know what I mean?
Favorite? Well, no. They're not. I've met you. You're a very direct kind of guy, and I feel like they're just going to take it and say, I'm going to eat my pizza, and that's it. That's what Taranzo Cannon is telling me to do at this moment.
Chicago, you know.
Proud to be from here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's an incredible blues scene. I think we appreciate music, but blues in particular. And people probably from all over the world come here to see you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And just all the blues entertainers here, because, I mean, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. You had Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, all those guys, Elmore James. You know, you had Junior Wells, Buddy Guy. I mean, we are standing on the shoulders of giants. So as a blues entertainer, I feel it's a duty to keep that up. You know what I mean?
They inspirations for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grew up listening to them.
You got to.
Yeah.
You can't say you're a blues man or blues woman and not listen to the heroes and sheroes of Chicago blues.
I think that's right. We want to hear a little more of you, the blues man. We've got some more here. Let's listen to Taranzo Cannon, CTA bus driver by day, international blues star by night.
Talking on the phone won't do. Gotta lay my love on you. I wanna be there to zip your dress, smell your hair when you lay your head on my chest.
Watch out.
Oh. That's a good Valentine's Day blues song.
Well, you know.
Face to face, that I'm your man.
Yes. Talking on the phone won't do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great, Taranzo.
No, thank you.
Are you, so good. Yeah. So good. Do you ever write about things that you've seen on the CTA bus? Do you ever let that influence your music? I mean, does it ever make its way in?
I wrote a song called The Pain Around Me because I worked some places on the west side. You know, you kind of see things.
Sure.
You know, but blues is not all about, like, you know, downtrodden stuff. But I do tap into that particular subject matter, you know. But, you know, I like, you know, to me, blues is not all what I call woman-hating music.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's little nuances of blues that you can talk about. I wrote a song called Insurance. That can
insurance.
Give you the blues. Oh, yeah.
About not having enough?
The lack thereof. or not having enough when you need it. You know, and it's like, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? You get to the office and they cut you open and they say, do you have this? And it's like, no.
So you like to write about your life, which is the best material anyway, the things you're experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, I tell young guys to come up and say, well, can you give me some pointers?
Yeah.
I say, get a passport. And write your own songs. It's from your life experience. You know? Yeah.
The international piece of that is so cool too. You get to travel the world because of the appreciation for blues.
I never thought I'd see these places. You know what I mean? Where it's like, and you want me to bring my guitar over and like freak out for a couple of hours and then, you know, I mean, it's cool. It's cool just to see all these places. Like, you know, on my Facebook, I'll, you know, it'll say memories of last year or 7 years ago.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wow, that's right. I was at the Mediterranean. I called the Mediterranean a lake by mistake in front of some French people.
Oh.
And they was
how
like,
did they like that?
It was like, sacre bleu or something like that. No, but they were like, that's the Mediterranean. I was like, oh, sorry, but we have a lake just as big, you know?
We do. And they don't believe that until they come here, but they have to come and see you. Yeah. When is your net? When can people see you?
Well, tonight, I have a birthday show at Blues on Halsted. Blues on Halsted, and I'm doing Fitzgerald's March 13th.
How cool is that? Where can we find you, Taranzo, if they wanted to look up your gigs and where you're going to be playing? Is there a certain site or you do social media? What do you do?
TaranzoCannon.com or AlligatorRecords.com. And just punch in my name, everything pops up nowadays.
Then wish him a happy birthday, too, if you get to go on his site or something. Happy birthday to you,
Are you coming out tonight?
Well, I'd like to, but I think my husband's already got some plans, so.
It's a late show.
What time is the show?
9:30.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll write you guys a note home.
Thank you. You can drive us home, no?
Yeah, hey, I'm a bus driver. That's what I do.
I think your story is so incredible. I think you're incredible. And
Thank you.
Thanks for just sharing it and come by this WGN talking to us. Thanks, Toronto.
Thank you.
But the news is coming up at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then it's Relationship Friday. And isn't that a good thing? Because it's also Valentine's Day. We're going to talk to Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy ahead here on WGN. It's 2:06 here on WGN. Anna DeVlantis here, and it's Valentine's Day. Thank you for letting us know your Valentine's stories. You've been texting them in and telling us what your good Valentine's gifts that you've gotten were, and some of the bad ones, too. We heard from someone who says, I don't like roses. I don't like flowers. I told my husband, don't get me flowers, and he hasn't gotten you flowers. So that worked out for you. 630, this is one of my favorites. You write, I love you on the mirror with shaving cream. Wipe off the shaving cream when the mirror steams up. The words I love you appear on the mirror for them. So that's a really sweet thing to wake up to in the morning, or go to bed to, I suppose, or wake up to tomorrow. Bella Gandhi is here. She knows a lot about Valentine's Day and doing sweet things for each other, because you have clients who you talk to and you try to counsel and get them together and find the love of their lives at Smart Dating Academy. Isn't that what you do? Kind of, part of.
We sure do.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. Today's like, you know, dating Super Bowl for everybody, right?
I know. It's Friday. There's a little added pressure, I think, when the Valentine's Day falls on the Friday.
It's Valentine's or it's Galentine's. I can tell you, my 16-year-old daughter and a bunch of her girlfriends, they're sophomores in high school. She's like, oh, we're going to go out for Galentine's tonight. It's like, wow, Galentine's, early.
Why not figure out a reason to celebrate and celebrate your girlfriends? Is there a
with
male
lemonade, hopefully.
Check in on that, okay?
Exactly.
Is there a male equivalent to Galentine's Day? I hear so much about I've never heard of, is there a Brolentine's Day or
Dudentine?
I don't know. I don't hear about this.
I don't hear about it either. I can't imagine a bunch of dudes. Actually, I could. Maybe going to a steakhouse, having a martini, trying to see if they can meet some chicks.
Yes. Why not?
Why not?
On the show today, Bella, we've been talking about gifts that you give your honey on Valentine's Day, the person in your life. And we've been talking about good gifts and bad gifts and how sometimes gifts don't go the way you want. And we were saying earlier, if you have a CVS bag that has a timestamp that for an hour before, and you get some cheap chocolates, and then you drop them off with your, you know, whatever, whoever you're dating or you're with, it may not. I don't know. Does that send a bad signal, or is that okay? Kind of thing.
It depends on the person. You know, if your person likes drugstore chocolates, then you're in great shape. It's a layup. Let's go to the All-Stars weekend in the metaphor.
I like that.
But if they don't like it, don't do it. You're better off. Take your gamble at the drugstore. Like, get a card.
Cards are good.
Cards are great. Write something nice in the card.
Okay, I like that. I was saying before, too, if you have like a buy one, get one free kind of thing that they can see, yeah, BOGO deal, and you don't see the second set of chocolates, then you got to be worried. That's another issue. Because, we can be detectives as women, and men can, too, right?
Oh, Lord, that's where you were going. Okay, one for me, one for
Where's the other one going?
Well, or maybe he gave it to her last night. It's February 13th is National Mistress Day.
Oh, geez. I've learned so many things with you, Bella. You're just so, you know all this stuff. Okay, so here's the other thing. Oh, Palentine's is 847's suggestion for the guys. Pals.
Oh, I like that.
Palentine's. Yeah.
Palentine's and Galentine's.
Go get the URL, because that sounds like a good one. I hadn't heard that before. You might want to market around that. T-shirts. I don't know. There could be some merchandise, some money-making opportunities.
It's a thing. I sense that we've invented a thing here, Palentine's.
We totally have. But ultimately, I mean, I said, you know, look, for years and years, I interviewed the Holy Name Cathedral does a thing for the 50-year couples. They've been together 50 years, golden anniversaries.
So
and
beautiful.
It is. And you go around and everything, honestly, when you ask questions about why did it last so long or why is it working for you, you know, give us some tips to those of us who aren't there yet. And they always seem very simple. Listen, communicate, respect, be a friend first.
You know, be kind.
Be kind. Or when you get angry, just like give them a moment to get angry. Maybe talk about it later when you both come down.
Give in. Say okay. Say I'm sorry.
And I always appreciate hearing from couples who have made it work for years and years. And, you know, and just the things they have to say, sometimes very simple. I think that's the surprising part.
Yeah, that's it. Give more than you take.
Yeah, right.
There, guys, #. We invented that here. That's how you get to the 50-year mark.
Yeah, and then we're so, okay, so the other thing we were talking about is the Valentine's Day gifts and what it says about you, what it says if you are able to, so what you give and what it means. I think at a certain stage in the relationship, you're beyond this probably.
Yes.
Do you think that's true? Like when your husband gets you something now, it's like, do you read anything into it? It's pretty straightforward at this point, right?
I mean, my husband got me a Roomba for Christmas.
He got you a Roomba, and that's because that's a practical gift.
That's a practical gift. He's like, I thought you would love this. I'm like, okay. It scares the heck out of me when
it's
I hear it go, yeah, but it's fine. Right. So we're past that overthink it stage. But in the beginning of a relationship, it's a thing to think about, what do I get this person? Because you don't want it to seem insignificant or generic, but you also don't want it to seem like it's too much too soon.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, remember, back in my dating days, girlfriends and I would look at the color of the roses to determine, well, I don't know, does he like you? Does he sort of like you? Does he not really like you? Yes. I don't, it was very complicated back then. Now it seems like we gave each other a vacuum in addition to just getting a card and some, little chocolates and stuff like that. But now that's fine. Like the practical gift later in the relationship is great.
It's appreciated.
It is. It's like, that totally works. It's going to make life easier. We got a Roomba. We got a vacuum that really works.
Take something off my list of things to do.
Right. Right. So then, okay. So here's the thing I want to ask you about Bella Gandhi of Smart Dating Academy, because you know this stuff and what it says. So the dozen red roses, that's pure, that's love and romance, right? That's what they're telling you.
It could absolutely be.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you should really like this person if you're sending them red roses, guys or girls.
Because it can be overkill, too.
Right, it's not just like.
Right.
Like romantically like.
Really romantically like. That's what you're saying there.
Yeah. And, yellow's fine, white, pink.
What about the, because everything is Instagrammed now especially, I think, for a certain age range. And so if you feel like you don't overdo it on Valentine's Day, that you're pairing with each other. So you have that like insane Kim and Kanye style flowers all over the house. Like then their house is pretty big. It's huge. And
it's
they have flowers everywhere in a room. And she puts that out and everyone says, oh, that's so sweet. I don't know. Sometimes that feels a little bit show offy to me.
Yeah. It's like you're creating an Insta scene. And it's either because one or both of you really like to put out there how in love with each other you are, or all the great things that happen to you. And I think that it's a phenomenon. People like to do that.
But what do you think that's about? Does that mean you're not really in love, or how do you read that whole thing?
I mean, man, I could talk about this for an hour. Sometimes I think that, yeah, the psychology behind it, when people post things that are too lovey, and you can see this with celebrities a lot, like, you are my everything, I love you. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, he's going to file for divorce.
Oh, gosh. And you've seen these things before. You kind of can read between the lines on a lot of this. 847, don't like made up holidays, just another way for some companies to make money off of us. I suppose if you're both on that same page where you're like, you know what, we don't really need to do much and it's okay, but we want to play the James Corden thing here, because he'd be the late, late show host. He addressed this, because if you're in one of those relationships where she or he says, you know what, let's not do anything, and you both sort of agree, make sure you're both on the same page.
I like Valentine's Day. I do. What's not to like? There's candy, there's chocolates, there's that big hole inside of you try to fill with candy and chocolates. Valentine's Day, or as a lot of couples call it, are you sure you don't want to do something this year, honey? No, I'm totally sure. Oh, okay, then we won't. Why aren't we doing anything? You clearly don't love me, Dave.
Talk about reading a lot into it. But it's just, you got to be on the same page with that stuff. If you're going to say, nope, we're not doing anything, it's like this texter just pointed out from 8147, totally too consumery for me. Make sure you're both on the same page, right?
Exactly. And when in doubt, do something.
Yeah. Go to CVS and pick up that chocolates.
Go get the BOGO chocolates. Get the card. Actually, leave the BOGO chocolates at the store.
I like that. All right. We're going to be back with Bella Gandhi. We're talking Valentine's Day with Bella Gandhi. This is Anna DeVlantis, 217 on WGN. Keep the text coming, 312-981-7200. You're talking about your Valentine's Day gifts, what you like to get, what you don't like. And some of you are sharing what the best ones you've ever gotten are, which included some pretty big jewelry, which is a nice gift.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and expensive. 563, bought a big T-bone steak. That was one of my favorites. I'm going to make dinner at home. I always think it's nice to make the dinner at home. I think that's that can be very, very romantic. So that is something to think about. I love My Seattle Sutton's healthy eating. I love the convenience as well. Fresh, honest, healthy meals arriving right at your doorstep twice a week. You don't have to shop. You don't have to cook. No cleaning pots and pans. It adds time to your day. And this is the kind of food that you should be eating for the rest of your life. It's healthy. It's nutritious and delicious. And you feel good when you eat it. Just ask Lou Manfredini. He's also doing it. He's getting the meals from Seattle Sutton Healthy Eating. And he knows they're tasty. They're super delicious. Never fresh. I mean, never frozen. Always fresh, I should say. Never frozen. And the meals, you just heat them up and you're good to go. There's no thinking about it. That's another cool part of it as well. They're on a 5-week rotation too, so they're not duplicating them all the time. It's a unique breakfast, lunch, dinner every day for 5 weeks. Plus, new meals are being added all the time. Check out their weekly menus. See what you think. SeattleSutton.com. Call 1-800-442-DIET. That's 1-800-442-DIET. Or go to SeattleSutton.com. Your good health is their true mission. For the news at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN. So, Bella, you are with Smart Dating Academy. We know you, and you bring couples together. You help people find people in their lives. And there was this great story in the Tribune about a second chance at love. Couples who had either lost somebody, lost a spouse, or lost a loved one, or divorced, and found it great the second time around.
Yeah.
You must see that, too. You get people who are saying, you know what, I'm finally ready to give it a shot and go out there again.
I see it all the time. You know, the majority of our clients are divorced or widowed. And while it can be scary or a little bit daunting to think about getting out there again, I mean, I have people that'll say, I haven't been on a date since 1993, Bella, kind of before the internet was even invented.
It's a different world out there.
How do I do this? And I can tell you that there is a right way to do it. And you will find love. It could be online dating. It could be finding someone in real life. It could be saying yes to a setup that someone offers you. But one of those three ways will lead you to the lid to your pot.
Yeah, you know, it's a good way. You're very positive about all things, and that too. And I think that that's the sort of thing where the world has changed a lot if you haven't been out there. And even the world of online dating would be something sort of daunting to somebody who hasn't been out there for a while, right? That's a different way of doing it if you haven't done it before.
It's really different. You know, it feels very, for some people, it feels very vulnerable. It feels scary to put photos of yourself out there, to say your age, to put head-to-toe shots. It can bring out all that negative stuff and those bad stories that we carry with us. I'm too old. I'm too heavy. You know, I'm too complicated, whatever that is. Or the stories like there's nobody good left out there. Everybody's in a relationship that's worthwhile. And those are the things that can keep us stuck.
Yeah. What are the other things that'll keep them stuck if they're in that position where they're sort of just trying it out again, second time?
Yeah. Being afraid, being anxious, and not doing it the right way. You know, taking some old photos that don't really look like you, you know, spending 30 seconds writing, you know, 5 words. I don't know what to write here. So if you're interested, write me back. That's not going to get you results, you guys. You have to put some time, some effort into it. That's why I started this company 10 years ago. And we hold people's hand through the process to make it less fearful and actually to make it fun. Somebody told me, they're like, you're like the personal trainer to my love life. These are my goals. Right, exactly. We know exactly what you're able to achieve and we'll work with you at your pace to get you to your goals. So it can be really fun and inspiring. And I'll tell you, there are lots of second and third and fourth time loves out there. So be encouraged on this Valentine's Day. Do something for yourself to love yourself and to give yourself some joy and know that when you're ready, you can find love.
I love that. And then I love this too. 708, Dean Richards interviewed Charlton Heston years ago, asked him his secret for his long marriage of 50 plus years. Charles Heston, by the way, a Wildcat, go Cats. His answer was three little words, and they're not, I love you. They're three little words he mentioned, Charlton Heston did, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing where you just sort of like, you get so angry that you dig in and you want to be right that sometimes, you know, you gotta admit that you're wrong, right? It's important. It's a great point. And then other people are talking, oh, 847, flying my wife to Arizona tonight to buy her a house in warmer weather.
Man.
You go.
I hope that's what my husband's doing for me tonight.
Yeah, really. Way to set the bar high, 847. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Exactly. Hey, if you need a neighbor, just let us know.
Yeah, 847. Yeah, you have like a guest house,
yeah,
or an extra room.
Sure. Yeah, to tear.
847, 56 years ago today, I gave my wonderful wife, Rosemary, an engagement ring for her birthday.
Aww.
Another Valentine's Day birthday. We just had the blues man in here, Taranzo Cannon. It was his birthday, and my sister's birthday is today, too, so... They got the Valentine's Day birthdays. Also, the consumerism part of the holiday that some people reject, and we had a few texts about that. Mark Cuban, billionaire, if you wonder what you get a billionaire for Valentine's Day.
For example, I think about that a lot.
Yeah, because I've got a number of billionaires on my list. I mean,
with all the all-stars in town.
But it's fun to think because you're like, okay, well, they have everything. They mm-hmm. have the house in Arizona. They have all that stuff if they want it. And he says, definitely not chocolates. He's not into the consumer piece of it. He says, a little kindness. I don't want anything material. That's not what I'm interested in, just being kind and nice. And I've kind of grown up because he wasn't always that way, as we know. He was kind of a notorious bachelor back early when he made all his money, you know, years ago. And now he's, you know, there he is, 61, and that's what he says. He doesn't need the consumer stuff anymore.
How old is he?
Is he 61? Did I read that right? He is less than the 61-year-old has learned firsthand.
Wow.
Yeah. Mark Cuban of Shark Tank fame and, of course, Dallas Mavericks owner.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's perpetually 40 to me. I don't know what that says.
Kind of stuck right there, right?
Yeah. Arrested Development.
Yeah. Didn't he sell Broadcast.com or whatever for $1 billion, what he was working on out of his Indiana dorm room? He's one of those big, you know, tech success stories. So that's what he wants. He's not into the consumerism part of it all either.
Yeah.
But expressions of love, you talk about this. It doesn't matter. You know, you kind of know who you're with, and you find what you think works for you, right?
Yeah. You know, you can look at what your partner's love language is. Right, you can Google these things and take quizzes online, but one of the most common ones is called words of affirmation. That means people don't really want stuff. They want to hear nice things. They want to hear what you love about them. So words of affirmation is certainly my love language. I think it's big on my husband's as well. And acts of service is another one. Do something for me that shows me that you love me. Like put the dishes in the dishwasher. Make me a cup of coffee. Little acts of service are huge languages of love for so many people.
And we've seen a lot of that as people explain what they really liked or what they did for their significant other that they really liked. In just those little writing something on the board as you leave the house, putting something on the mirror,
cream.
The shaving cream thing. I didn't know that trick, and that thank you for telling us. I thought someone else had said you use a bar of soap and write it, but then you got to clean that later.
You got to clean that up. Yeah, that's the thing.
You don't want to clean up, but you know, it's kind of like sometimes the simplest things, you know, they really matter. They do. And so here's the interesting part. Valentine's Day this year, they're expecting it to set a record. So it seems as if this holiday, when we're talking about people rejecting it for the consumer piece of it or the fact that it's a made-up holiday, let's face it. I like that it's a reminder. It's a reminder because we forget sometimes that we have to appreciate the other person and that this is a great day when you say, you know what, I have this. Let me just remember to do something to express your love for the person in your life. And it's going to set a record this year, though, spending at $27.4 billion, about a average per celebrator, $196, almost $200. That seems like a lot is spent. And by the way, of that, 15 of which goes to friends and 12 to pets.
Wow. That's a lot.
So it's Galentine's Day for your friends, Palentine's Day, one of our texters told us about, and then Petentine's Day or something. We don't have a name for that yet, but that, you know, people celebrate it with their pets too.
It's
right?
You know what? Look at it with the rose-colored glasses on. Instead of saying, it's a retail holiday, it's a holiday to show someone that you love them, right?
Yeah.
Make the best out of today, guys.
Yeah, just, right.
Send that text.
Look at it.
Make that call. Say happy Valentine's or just reach out to someone that you should have. You haven't talked to them in a while. Call your mom. Call your grandma. Tell someone that you love them today.
What a sweet thing, Bella. I love that. 815, alcohol works for us on Valentine's Day.
Then you're going to spend more than the $200.
He could also, well, unless you do it at home, he could also do my dishes. That would be awesome.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. So then someone else is saying, don't say Valentine's Day is made up. It goes way back in history. There is an historical thing to it, but it's sort of the consumer piece of it, I think.
It goes back centuries.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it. Well, do we have a? We'll have a, maybe a minute on the other side of this. We're gonna break here on WGN, and we're gonna be right back with Bella Gandhi in a moment. Bella Gandhi of Smart Dating Academy is here just for another minute. We were talking Valentine's Day, your gifts, and celebrating love, and just kind of reaching out to anybody in your life on this holiday. And you're right, it is an entirely made up holiday. We're just kind of talking about the consumer piece of it was made up with the rest of the piece of it that is kind of consumery, and that's what some people are rejecting. But there's some history here, Bella, right? There is some history. It does go back centuries. Valentine's
centuries
Day.
And centuries and centuries. It says Valentine greetings were popular as far back as the Middle Ages, though written Valentines didn't begin to appear until after 1400.
When did Hallmark cards get invented? It was like years later.
But 1973.
It's all working. It's all working. Bella Gandhi, Smart Dating Academy. You know where to find her. Bella, where do we go if we want to check out your website or learn more about what it is you do, about bringing people together?
Absolutely. If you want to just celebrate Valentine's Day, go to smartdatingacademy.com and follow us on Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. Lots of good free info.
Yes. Thank you, Bella. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Friday.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and to everybody listening.
Have a good weekend. We've got more coming up here on WGN, bottom of the hour news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then you know how they say that couples that laugh together stay together? We have a great person to, you might want to catch. He's in town this weekend and he will make you laugh.
Guys, I haven't been on Instagram today. Does anybody know if the sun set? Or if anybody ate any food. I just like to keep in touch. I went into a store just down the street recently. When I walked in, the sales lady just went, "It's good to see you." And I was like, I don't know how to deal with this information at all. So I just did the only thing I thought was appropriate, and I just said, "It's been too long," and I kissed her on the mouth.
Oh. That's Kurt Brownoler. He is here with us. He's getting to Chicago this weekend. You know, we mentioned before that they say couples who laugh together stay together, and why not take in some great comedy this weekend? Welcome, Kurt.
Thank you. I don't even remember those jokes.
How long ago was that?
I don't know. Was that from a late night set? That must have been from a late night set.
Yeah, I know you've been on all the late night shows, and I mean, I didn't see the date on it, but I think it was. I just thought it was funny. In fact, what I love about your work from what I've been able to see so far is just the way you interact with strangers and make it really funny, because so many of us feel so awkward when strangers around us do weird things, and you embrace it.
And yeah, I think that there's an inherent absurdity to any social interaction that that should be called out and exploited more.
Including when you sat in the middle seat with two women who wanted to get the aisle in the window seat. And I understand the motivation behind that. But then when you're seated in the middle, they continue to sort of talk over you as if you weren't there.
Yes, I wish I could go into that bit and give you a little flavor of it. Again, I've forgotten that one as well.
You forgot it too. Well, we couldn't play that one because there were a couple swear words there. There was a bleeping that was necessary. So our producer, Ben, is like, I can't play that one. Basically, what you did there was you said, you just started talking to them and looking at them and like you're part of the conversation, like guilting them out of it.
That's a good one.
Do you actually do this stuff in real life? Like, is the material just come to you in your brain?
I do it in real life. I think it's, I think there's little moments in life, like life can be so boring and routine. And if something kind of like jogs you out of your regular routine, I think it kind of makes the day a little special.
It certainly does.
Even if it's a little weird.
And it certainly is. Do you talk about relationships at all? Do you like to tackle that type of material?
I have a little bit of relationship stuff in this new hour that I'm doing tonight. Just talking about my wife, and you know, we've been married now for 5 years. We have two kids now.
Congrats.
Yeah, so it's just this whole new level of relationship with kids.
How old are they?
Almost 3 and almost 5 months.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm right in the...
Got your hands full.
Ooh-wee.
You're running around. It's all physical.
Ooh.
You're not sleeping.
One was fun, too. What did we do? Second kid is tough right now. He's just not sleeping, and we're not sleeping. And
that is never fun. And so you're here just at Zanies. Mm-hmm. People can go to Zanies.com if they want to check out how to come see you and that kind of thing. Chicago is such a great comedy town. I mean, if somebody does what you do. I just think it would have to be really cool when you see the Chicago part on your tour, right? You're like, I'm going to go there. Great audiences, huge appreciators of comedy. Have had amazing comedians come through here. Let's face it. Some of the best ever to ever do what you do. And yet really good audiences.
Oh, yeah. It's a comedy educated audience, you know, because the combination of like the long form improv that is here in Second City and the clubs that are here. It just like people, they know how to go to a comedy show. They've seen comedy before. And so they kind of appreciate it. It's as opposed to, you know, sometimes you go to places in the United States where people, you are their very first comedy show and they don't kind of know how to handle themselves.
Ever had people where they just sort of ignore the comedy and they're there to drink or something?
They're just chatting.
I've seen that when I've gone to other. I went to a place I'm not going to name, but it went and it was very much like I could tell that this was not a true comedy appreciating audience.
No, they were literally looking for a thing to do.
Yeah, just like, hey, there's a warm spot.
I just happened to be the thing that they're doing. That's always a fun group in the audience.
I love that. What are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? You and your wife, you're here. Is she here?
I'm here. No, she is not here. So I gave her a little present and a card before I left. But unfortunately, and I asked her, I was like, can I book some dates on Valentine's? She's like, I don't care. But it is still
5 years. She doesn't care. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, it's still too bad to be away.
Yeah. Well, then when you get back, you can do it. That happens a lot, right? You just sort of, whatever. We can have a date night another. Other night if
yeah,
you can
exactly.
get a sitter for your kids.
Yeah. We're going to go out and eat pasta and then drink wine.
Yes, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing I've heard that you've done, and this is really cool and I want to hear more about it, is that you once rode a jet ski from Navy Pier to New Orleans.
That is correct.
How does that happen? How does any of that happen?
There's a lot of locks involved.
Yeah. How do you even navigate? Right? How do you figure that out? Do you know a lot about? Have you sailed growing up or
no?
Nothing like that. You're not.
No.
I was just thinking
like, what's the dumbest way to go across country? And I was like, a jet ski is the dumbest way. And so I did it for did it as part of charity. We raised I think $28,000 for Heifer International and sent, I think, 280 goats and 500 goats and chickens to families who need them in Africa. So I started here. The best part of the trip, honestly, one of the best parts of the trip, was coming through the Chicago River. And then it ends unceremoniously in the Illinois River, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
And jet skiing the Illinois River is not fun, especially the whole section. They have an entire section. It's about a mile long where they've electrified the water to keep the Asian carp out. And we ran out of gas over that. So it was like literally floating without gas inches above water that was electrified.
What'd you do there?
We had a PA literally run to Sears and buy gas cans and then go fill them up at just a gas station on the street and then like run through like a rat infested field and throw just multiple gallons of gasoline down to us to fill it up enough to get to where we were going to take the boats out.
Did you think about swimming at any point? Would that cross your mind or did you?
I swam in the Mississippi a bunch. Cause there are some bucolic sections of the Mississippi once you get south of St. Louis. But yeah, no, I have not.
No, you didn't.
Not I did hop in the Illinois River, and it was disgusting, and I got an infection.
Was it? Oh, you did.
The first day I got an infection. The secret is because see, I surf, and so I'm used to peeing in wetsuits. But don't pee in a wetsuit if you're jet skiing, because that's not a good idea.
No. But wait, I'm not sure I understand that.
Oh, when you're surfing, you're in the water.
Oh, okay.
So the water flushes out.
Oh, okay.
When you're on a jet ski,
you're not getting in the water at all. So you're there and it's there and it's all not good because it's stinking up the whole place.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sorry. A little late on that one. Okay. But so were you alone for this whole journey?
Well, no. I was shooting a web series for Comedy Central called Roustabout. So we had one camera boat and then one safety boat. So there's two boats with me.
And then this was something that was broadcast. People can go look it up?
You can go watch it right now. It's on YouTube. It's called Roustabout.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you came through the Chicago River, did you come in contact with a lot of water for you? Did you see anything that should be mentioned or anything that didn't really belong there?
I mean, the main thing was, it was just like, it was amazing, you know? Like, there's no other area where there's just such tall buildings right on, like, a kind of a small river. Yeah. And it was just like, it was very iconic and very, and like, all these, you know, people on boats, people, like, sitting on the side, yelling, like, no one knew I was starting a grand journey. And I guess people, you know, people jet ski here pretty often.
Yeah, they do. They kind of get out of the river a little bit. We do the river tours here, but you're not in contact with the water.
Yeah.
However, they say at some point we're supposed to be able to swim in the Chicago River in some point in the not too distant future. But I'm not ready for that yet. The whole thing just seems a little weird and gross because of what we, if anyone who grew up here, you know what that's been like over the years. And they are cleaning it up and it is getting better. And yet it still is not quite at that standard yet where, you know, sometimes there's a little smell or something you see out there that doesn't really belong. And that's just it. That's just the way it goes. How long are you here in Chicago? Just for the weekend, Kurt?
Yep, just till Sunday.
All right. So people can come and see you at Zanies. Go to zanies.com and check you out. Are you tonight and
Saturday?
And Saturday night.
Two shows tonight, three shows Saturday.
Oh, all right. Well, so cool. And then are you going to FaceTime with your wife at some point or like anything?
She hates FaceTime.
She doesn't like that.
She hates FaceTime. So I'll FaceTime with my daughter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sweet.
She likes it.
See the little, okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, happy Valentine's Day to you,
Thank
Kurt.
You very much to you
Zanies,
as well.
Zanies.com is where you go, and you can see Kurt Braunohler, and you can also see his jet ski across the river and the streams and all
across
that whole adventure if you want to check that out. And then you can see him on late night television. You're always there. You're everywhere, and you're really funny. So thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
More to come here on WGN Radio, including we're going to continue to read a couple more of your texts. Keep them coming. My hubby and I will renew our vows on our cruise later this year. My hubby was excited as that was his dream wedding. He is getting it 30 years after our church wedding. So that's what they're doing for Valentine's Day. And we're going to have trending stories coming up here on WGN, the things that are trending in the Chicago area, what people are sharing and caring about, including the Wisconsin woman who has absolutely had it about being told to bundle up when it's cold outside. She's super cute. She's really fun. And she's trending because she tells her local news station about what she thinks gives them a piece of her mind. Coming up. It's 2:44 here on WGN. Anna DeVlantis here in studio, along with Lauren Lapka, has stepped into the studio to talk about trending topics. We were mentioning earlier with, and Steve Bertrand is here too, I should mention. We were talking earlier that all the celebrity sightings have started and people are starting to take to social media to say, hey, look who I saw. Shaq's here in the lobby at the Hyatt or wherever he was. And, you know, there's so many people here. It's the center of the universe for the NBA and all the people who love the NBA, right?
But hate the cold. And they're letting us know that.
Is that what you're seeing?
On Twitter, some of the tweets about it is just how much they really hate the bitterly cold weather.
Well, you think about, anybody's from a colder climate, it's no big deal. But the people who come from the LAs of the world, the Floridas of the world.
Get over it.
What did you say, Steve?
Get over it.
Toughen up. You're in the NBA.
You want to come to Chicago?
Right.
You should deal with it.
I think there's some truth to that. But I think this may be a little bit colder than they thought, right? When they checked the forecast maybe earlier in the week, they thought, 30s, no big deal.
Especially since we've had a rather mild winter so far, they kind of came in on the wrong weekend.
And I'm going to LA next weekend.
Oh, rubbing it in.
Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, is that a Valentine's Day thing?
I'm going to see our daughter. Our daughter lives out there. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Very cool. That's awesome, Steve. Well, if you don't like cold, but then you live in LA. But if you're in the Midwest, as you point out, Steve, we know all about cold and snow. And this is trending today because there's this retired woman in Wisconsin, Madison area, I believe. She loves her local news station. She even loves the weather person very, very much. But she is sick and tired of all the weather stories that tell her to bundle up. And here she is telling her favorite station all about it.
She's not only tired of the weather, she's tired of talking about it, too.
It's pretty stupid. I mean, it's going to happen, people. Don't tell me to put sunglasses on when it's sunny out. I know this. I have common sense. I don't need to know to bundle up when it's going to be 10 below.
And she goes on and on and on. She is precious. Randy Leader is just like, hey, enough of it, you know? I deal with it, and the whole time she's shuffling the snow as they're interviewing her, and she's like,
I love that.
My son took off, and he's not even helping me. She just says, you know.
That is great. True, though. You wake up and you say, oh, you're going to need your mittens today. What? You know, just tell me the temperature.
Yeah, right. I'll decide that stuff. If you've been here more than a year, you kind of get it, right? You do.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's super cute. She still likes her station, but she just wanted to make that very firm point.
That wasn't Nancy Lou, was it?
No. Remember, Nancy kind of said the same
thing last week.
Yeah. It was more the reporter's perspective, kind of getting sent out to cover the snow. And she's like, well, how do I cover the snow when everyone here knows snow?
But it's the same thing.
It's hard.
It's like, bundle up, and he's like, well, it's snowing. I'm going to go out and tell you it's snowing. Here I am in the snow where it's snowing.
It's a weird thing about TV news, because you get stuck in that. And if it's a fairly big weather event, then it's like, oh, talk about it. We're already talking about it a lot. But like the meteorologists are talking a lot about it, and you can only use so many of the same phrases and terms. So, yeah, I get it from both sides. I get it from both sides. Yeah.
You've done it. I know.
Unless you're really lucky and you get a spin out on video or something.
Oh.
Spin out. It's not a crash.
Well, that's true. And I guess when you see one of those, I'll tell you, it stays with you as you head out in your morning commute. And so that can be helpful just to kind of say, hey, here's a reminder.
In all fairness, there are still some of those people that will wear shorts no matter what temperature it is. And then there are some of those people that will still drive like idiots no matter how slick it is. So
even if they've been here,
maybe
for a long
they need
time
to hear it.
Yes, we would like to do that just for them. Here's something interesting going on at the Chicago Auto Show. This Sunday, they are going to, 1 hour before it opens, they're going to have the Chicago Area Runners Association. Kara is going to do like a run. They're going to run around the auto ground. If you've been to the auto show, there's a lot of space there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to do. And you even get a medal at the end. You know, you walk away from the marathon, you get the medal, you get to walk around. I've always wanted to do that.
It's pretty much the only reason I would ever want to do a marathon.
So that's happened. That's kind of an interesting thing. First time they're doing that this Sunday, February 16th, McCormick Place, right before they open up. So pretty cool.
You know, I used to work as a model at the auto show back when they had models. Remember when they had the models
there? Yeah, I do remember that. Don't they? So they have spokespeople now, right?
Yeah, but it used to be like, you know, sexy people would stand there and...
And you did that?
Briefly. No, I never did it.
I was going to say, Steve, that sounds... I was going to call you out on that one.
But you remember when they did have that and that sort of became...
I do.
People looked back and said, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it was... And then did they know things about cars too? I can't remember.
No,
or did they
like
just
the,
sort of just stood there?
It was like the price of Price is Right. They were really sexy and they would point at the car and... spin around the car, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, I do remember that. Now, these people are very knowledgeable. You go up to them, they've got those little, they look like they're in a TED Talk. They're all wearing black, and they have that little microphone that's like invisible, and you go up to them, you ask them anything. And so they actually do know the cars. So times have changed. This would you like to change here in the city of Chicago? They want to make it possible to have a boozy brunch at 9 a.m. instead of 10 a.m. City Council's considering this idea proposed about allowing restaurants to sell alcoholic beverages as early as 9 a.m. on Sundays. Don't have to wait for 10 a.m. anymore. I think that's a good idea.
Hey, if you can wake up that early, why not?
I know. Who's out at 9?
I think it's for the people who like to watch the Premier Soccer League and things like that.
Oh, that's true.
They're already up and running. I remember my cousins here once, and my wife's cousins, and the Gaelic football, the All-Ireland was going on, and we went to, it was the Chief O'Neill's at one of the places on Elston at like 7 in the morning to watch the match. No, it's not Chief O'Neill's.
No,
is
Chief
it?
O'Neill's is not there.
I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of it. Yeah,
I'm not thinking of it either. But you're right. There are all those places where you're at off hours. You're hanging out at the bar to see your team play in European time.
Do you necessarily have to have a beer at 9 o'clock in the morning to watch soccer? I don't know about that.
But. Yeah. I don't know. But I think this is an interesting idea. The alderman changed the city code last fall to let more grocery stores sell alcohol beginning at 8 a.m. on Sundays, 3 hours earlier than the 11 a.m. start. You ever go to another place and they still have like the noon start time and they've got the cages around the alcohol?
Yeah.
You're just you go to the store a little early to prepare for something for later in the day, and all of a sudden you're like, can't buy that, or they like kind of shame you sometimes at the checkout.
Right.
Nope.
In Indiana, when I went to Purdue, they had all those kind of laws. You couldn't even buy alcohol on a Sunday. And I didn't know any of this after turning 21. I was so confused. And like a lot of the bars, you need 2 forms of ID to even get in. So I was like learning all these things. I was like, what is this place?
Indiana.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you got to figure stuff out, right? Abbey Pub 773?
Abbey Pub, thank you very much.
Yeah. That sounds right to me, too, yes. A hard seltzer festival is coming to Chicago. It's interesting because White Claw's got strong ties here. I know, I think that's based here, part of its business is based here. And so it's became so ridiculously just successful seemingly overnight.
It's a huge part of the market now. Mm-hmm. And there are all sorts of people replicating it. It's giant.
Bud Light is getting in the game.
There's Natty Light. Natural Light Seltzer or whatever. It's Natty Light Seltzer. That's in Ohio, I think.
Then the Truly is the one on the West Coast. They have it here too, but it's very popular on the West Coast. That's where, and we got White Claw and it just took off. So I don't know if it's a passing fad. It seems like it might be here to stay. It certainly, you look at the sales, just crazy.
It's a low carb thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's a health part of it. Yeah, and a low carb thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and everyone likes the seltzer craze.
Right. So something other than beer, but also it doesn't really have that burn of some of the, you know, wine coolers. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a big favorite.
I never thought of a wine cooler as having a burn.
Well, like, I didn't want to name specifics, but I could only think of, like, Mike's Hard, because, you know, sometimes they burn a little bit in your stomach after
same
having
maker.
Too many.
Mike's Hard Lemonade is doing the White Claw. So they kind of, they're just satisfying everyone. Everyone. Do you find that guys will do the White Claw? Or guys into the White Claw, too?
I'm actually amazed
more beer
at how many.
In Chicago?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe not specifically, over the summer, for sure, when it's more, you know, a little bit more refreshing.
Well, you can get exposure to all 30 brands of the different. I can't believe that there are that many of hard seltzer, and it's going to stop in Minneapolis, Brooklyn, New York. It's going to be here in Chicago, and you get like a ticket and you go around like a beer tasting.
Wow, how do they not all just taste the same?
Yeah, I would think they do too. Although I've only tried White Claw, but I would think Truly. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do a different take on it. Maybe here. Yeah. Neon signs, they're disappearing. This is interesting. Chicago Tribune talked about how you see the neon signs coming down everywhere across the city, and that there are certain places like Western Avenue and a certain stretch was known for the car dealerships and the big bright neon signs, and those are going away. One of the reasons is the upkeep. One of the reasons is they tax you, and there are certain, like, you know, upkeep kind of fines and things like that the city will crack down on if it isn't totally done the right way. And they just say, hey, it's kind of a thing of the past that you're not seeing as many of these go on.
Yeah, I remember hearing that it's a lot more expensive than you would have thought.
Mm-hmm. High maintenance costs and city fees cited by the companies that say they're taking them down. Lou Mitchell still has its up on Jackson there. And they say, you know, it is expensive to maintain, but we want to keep it. People come here. They take pictures from all over the world.
Well, that's kind of it's an iconic sign there, too.
And it's the start of Route 66. Right. So anyone who's doing that Route 66 tour, they come there first. They dine. They take the picture. And
I had a Stroh's beer light that was a neon light when I was in college or something. I have no idea where it came from or where it is now, but... You know, it's the one that the bar would sit in the window.
Weren't those popular in college? I mean, when I was there, were they popular when you were there, Lauren?
Not necessarily when I was, but, you know, I've heard the stories and I've seen all the signs that have been collected by people in my family and things like that. So I definitely know it was a big fad.
It was so cool to be able to have one of those back
Stroh's,
in the day.
Stroh's, though, yeah.
Stroh, old style.
Seen a lot of St. Pauli girls ones.
Well, they're going away. So that's the thing. Just an interesting Chicago Tribune read if you want to check that out. That's trending topics. And thanks, Lauren. Thanks, Steve.
Sure.